Last month was a big holiday month. I was doing Christmas Carol at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. And Reed, you were off on the road with Michael Faulkner and Trey Tyler doing the ultimate Christmas show abridged across the Pacific Northwest. And I'm guessing that all of our shows went perfectly.
The logistics were flawless.
Oh, good. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 20th year, number 998, Joys of Touring. Last month, our veteran stage manager Elaine Randolph caught a bug and was too sick to fly to Oregon and Washington for our final performances of 2025. That was just the beginning of the mishaps, so I talked to my RSC co-artistic director Reed Martin about everything that had to happen to pull the performances off.
So the Goodman Theater's Christmas Carol has a rack, an entire room filled with understudies and covers who can go on at a moment's notice, and a stage management team that's four or five people deep. We are the Reduced Shakespeare Company, however. We don't have that deep a bench, and we certainly don't travel with as many people. What happens, Reed, when our stage manager is too sick to come on the road?
Funny that you should ask. So yes, we had four shows up in Washington and Oregon between December 5th and 12th, 3rd and 12th. And so we did the first two dates, and that was fine. Then we had a little bit of break, so most people went home. And then we're supposed to fly up to Portland, Oregon for a show at the Reaser Center for the Arts in Beaverton, Oregon. And we're supposed to fly on Tuesday, and I teach my movement and mask class at Santa Rosa Junior College Monday night, and I'm driving home, and I have a message from our stage manager, Elaine, saying, I am violently ill. I don't think I'm going to be able to travel tomorrow to Oregon. Elaine suggested, well, Jen Ruget had stage managed the week before because Elaine had a conflict. And so Elaine said, is Jen available? And I was pretty sure Jen wasn't, just because I've been talking to her. I knew that she had another show coming up. But nonetheless, you reach out and you say, hey, Jen, well, Elaine is ill. I don't think you're available, but I have to ask. And Jen said, no,
can
gosh,
you fly
sorry,
tomorrow
no,
to Oregon?
Yes, tomorrow. Yeah. Can you fly to Portland?
Yeah.
And so Jen wasn't available. So then we reached out to our sound designer extraordinaire, stage manager extraordinaire friend, Zach Moore, mm-hmm. from the Pittsburgh Public Theater to say, hey. And I knew he'd been out on tour, I think, doing sound with Frozen, the national tour of Frozen. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, he had just finished that. But unfortunately, he had just stepped into A Christmas Story, the musical, at Pittsburgh Public Theater. So he wasn't available. So we're going, oh, geez. Part of me when it's like, oh, I guess we got to cancel. I mean, just, you know, it runs through your mind. It's like, how are we going to do this?
Sure.
We don't have anybody who's, you know, anyway. So I'm at home. My bride, Jane, our general manager forever, said, well, I could dress it. Well, I said, well, thank you for offering. But, you know, it's a lot. You've never dressed this show before. It's last minute. Uh-huh. And then I got thinking, and I knew that Maggie Davis has been dressing the show.
Yep.
And I knew she had stage managed for me before at Santa Rosa Junior College. And I thought, oh, maybe we could simplify the show, you know, lights up, lights down. Michael Trey and I were all over it. We've just performed the show twice. We're sharp. Mm-hmm. You know, we could probably make this work. Let's simplify. So I reached out to Maggie. Maggie is cool as a cucumber. Yeah. Goes, oh, yeah, I could do that. I go, well, good for you. And so I said that to Jane. She says, well, I can. I said, are you serious, Jane? You can dress it? She goes, yeah. Because, of course, she's dressed the show a million times.
She toured with us for years, Jane did.
Yeah, years and years. Not this particular show.
Right.
But she says, you know, the way things are set up and the way you put clothes on somebody, it isn't that different from show to show. It's just where's the clothes and where's the change happen and, you know. So,
right.
Okay, so maybe we'll simplify it. Maggie will stage manage it. Jane will dress it. Jane books a flight. I get home within like 2 hours. Jane's booked a flight to Portland. You got on our flight. So wow. We were all on the same flight. But as we're traveling that day, we got a word from our shipping company that it's one we use a lot. It's a national shipping company, and we've had very good luck with them. However, in this particular case, they had tried to deliver our cases with the props, costumes, and set to the Reaser Center on Monday, and they said it was closed. Well, if you go online, it says it's closed, but there's people in there. Yeah. So we think maybe they didn't even try, but we don't really know. Yeah. And they said, but we'll deliver it Tuesday. So now we're traveling Tuesday. Oh, well, no, it hasn't been delivered today. Okay. Well, we start loading at like 9:30 in the morning for the show on Wednesday for the show Wednesday night. So the people from the theater are trying to figure out, they're in contact with the shipping company. And the shipping company says, okay, if you come out to our depot Tuesday night, we'll give you the trunks, the cases. Okay. So, you know, Jane and I have just been going through this. How are we going to make this work? We're up, cracking on, get to the, you know, get to the airport, get to Portland. Good. I can go to sleep. Oh no, I need to drive to the depot to get these cases. So we drive out to the depot in rush hour traffic and it's raining and it's dark. They will not give us the cases. So it's like, well, it takes most of the day to load in the show. And they said, well, we could deliver. We'll put them on a truck tomorrow and we'll deliver them sometime between 10 and 3. No, no, no. You don't get it. If the cases arrive at 3 o'clock, and one, we're not sure we trust you that you will. But two, even if they got there at 2 or 3, that's not enough time to get the show ready. Could we pick them up first thing tomorrow morning? Okay. So, but I don't know if I believe them.
Yeah.
So, next morning at 7 a.m., get in the minivan, drive out to the depot, and it's a miracle. This woman rolls out the cases. And so, great. So I text everybody, we got the cases. Okay. Great. And Maggie's plugging away, loading in the show, focusing the lights. They don't have a sound computer there supposedly. So what are we going to do about sound? She gets that sorted out with help from Elaine on the phone. And I think Zach in Pittsburgh was helping with stuff.
I think I sent a link to some folks as well. So we had to, fortunately the sound was uploaded to the cloud so it could be downloaded in Portland. Yeah.
Yes. Which is a way we often do, but somehow they thought they didn't have a computer that had the program we run the sound on is QLab. But anyway, they got it figured out. Mm-hmm. And so I said to Maggie, so we're going to simplify it. Maggie, no, I think we can get all the cues. We're good.
Amazing.
And so then Jane starts to load in a show she's never seen before. So she's, you know, looking, pulling out all the props and costumes. And of course, there's doubles of stuff. And she, you know, it says, oh, this is for Dodds. Well, Dodd isn't in the show, you know, but she...
Right. And she's looking at you guys going, Reed, what the hell is this?
Yeah. So yes. I mean, fortunately, Michael and Trey and I knew what we wore and what we didn't wear. And the Dodds was in my track. So if it says Dodds, it's probably Reed and that sort of thing. So we came in, I don't know, late morning, early afternoon, once Jane had sort of laid things out and go, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here. I'd asked Maggie, I said, is this, because she dressed the show the week before, is this, Maggie had also dressed our History of America. I said, which is harder? Because the Christmas show has two or three sections where there's such fast changes. She says, Christmas show is easier, fortunately. Okay. She said, America is just endless. I wouldn't have thought that.
Huh,
she said, America show is just, it goes and goes and goes. This one, there's long periods where you're not doing anything. And then, you know, a frenzy of activity.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, with the Christmas show, there's a couple of sections where we have a couple of locals help us dress because we're all changing at once.
Right.
So Jane was helping me with my quick changes. And then there were two local people, one helping Michael Faulkner, one helping Trey Tyler. So we went through the section. We do a English Christmas pantomime version of the Birth of Christ story, the nativity story. And that's where all the fast changes. So we ran that section two or three times. Mm-hmm. There's also stuff about it gets complicated because sometimes you drop a costume up center but you're going to change into it stage left. So it needs to track and that's not so easy to take care of. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, but it was a Christmas miracle. It all worked out.
It was an ultimate Christmas miracle.
It was a lot.
Hello. I'm William Mattson, manager of the Terrace Theater at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In this first half of 2026, we'll be performing all the great books abridged in Reston, Virginia, and Sault Ste. Marie and Holland, Michigan. And we'll be bringing back the show that started it all, the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged to more than 30 cities in the UK starting next month. And on Monday night, February 2nd, 2026, we'll have a special live recording of the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast on stage at Chicago's famed Annoyance Theater. It will be our 1,000th episode, and I'll be talking to the Annoyance's founder and artistic director, Mick Napier, and his executive director, Jennifer Eslin. The show will start at 7 p.m., and I'll have more details about it in the next couple of days. Check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with my RSC partner, Reed Martin. Just as I was asking him how he managed to pull off wearing all the different hats he and I both have to wear.
This little baby, I'm pointing at myself now, needs his sleep. How do you do that when you're up so early and up late? And my brain has ceased functioning in more than one track. But you're operating now as an actor, as a producer, as a director, as a technical director, and a production manager. How do you compartmentalize all that stuff?
It seems kind of one. You know, because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, this needs to be done. And I guess I don't think, oh, well, this is a director thing. Oh, this is a producer thing. Oh, this is an actor thing. It's just like, and you get the adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I come from a family of hard workers, you know, and I'm busy most of the time. But I will say, I've just, you know, finished that run with the Reduced Shakespeare Company and finish all the semester grading. And I do feel like I've hit a wall and I'm like, oh God.
Right. Which is good because your body keeps you going. And then when it knows you have a break, it goes, right. You're on your own now. I'm tapping out.
Yeah. And we had a beautiful drive then. So we had the show in Beaverton, which is Portland, beautiful city. I will just say that I've been to Portland. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. It's gorgeous. Right. And then we drove along the Columbia River to Yakima. And the second show that week was in Yakima, which is kind of central Washington. And our friend Charlie Robin, who has booked us for years and years, used to be at Washington University in St. Louis. And now he runs the Capitol Theater in Yakima, Washington. And we did the second show there. And the Columbia River, I mean, it's a beautiful thing about being on tour. It's like a 3.5 hour drive and like 2.5 hours of it. It's just absolutely gorgeous drive. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And, Jane did it like falling out of bed. You know, she, you know, there's things where you go, oh gosh, I got to get this over there. But she said, yeah, I mean, if putting a coat on somebody is the way you put a coat on somebody. It's all kind of, you know, second nature. And she just, it's been a long, I think the last time she dressed the show might've been when we did the Shakespeare show at the festival in China, Wuzhen.
Yeah.
So it had been a while, but so she, you know, it was all said and done. It was tiring, but she goes, I still got it.
Oh yeah, she does. I mean, a lot of this stuff is the work itself is what it is. It's the admin, that the organization that makes the work flow and so well. And Jane is exquisite with the admin of staying organized enough about, oh, this is clearly needs to go over stage left so I can put it on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get to Yakima and how did that go? How did Maggie and Jane do that? Like it's like they'd been doing their jobs for years.
Yeah. Now they're veterans. So, veterans. Should we come in at 11? Should we come in at 1? Whatever, you know, we're good.
noon, one, whatever. Show's not till 7.
You still have the same thing where you have to train the local, the two local backstage people how to train, how to dress Michael and Trey in those sections. And there's a lot of stuff in the show that is just good to run. We have the Found Object Bell Choir, which we're always trying to remember how to make, you know, jingle bells out of those sounds. And singing Mrs. Santa Claus. Michael's a very good guitarist.
Yeah.
And we were having trouble hearing each other. So we actually adjusted that Michael came, Trace starts to sing it down left by the Christmas tree. And we'd been up by the door and we just couldn't hear each other generally. So Michael came center stage. And so, so just a little adjustment things, you know, blocking things. And, you know, you're talking about director and an actor and producer, also playwright, you know, there's also always little tweaks. Trey did a funny thing where he's stealing money out of the Salvation Army bucket. And we've always been looking for kind of a punchline to that moment. We see him reaching in. And we said, Trey, and he looks guilty and he goes, tariffs, and he runs off. It got a great laugh. So there's always that kind of stuff
that's going on. That's great. Well, and Trey's the newest member of the company.
Yeah, but he said this is now the longest show he's ever done, not number of performances, but over this is his third season. So he knows it well.
Yeah. I do miss the Christmas show. It's, I mean, one of the reasons I have I have the job at the Goodman Christmas Carol is because I've reached out to the previous director, just say, hey, my ultimate Christmas show is not getting any pandemic bookings. Do you need a third or fourth understudy for Scrooge?
Yeah.
And so then they brought me into auditions anyway, but I do miss doing the Christmas show. A gun to my head, which is maybe not the best image. If forced to choose, the Christmas show might be right up there with one of my favorite of the show of all of our shows.
With me, it's definitely true. It always puts me in the spirit. It's you know, it's, I mean, I guess like all of shows, irreverent, but a celebration. And it always puts me in the Christmas spirit, that little song we sing at the end and then the snow starts to fall. And we were saying how the last, I guess 2 years ago, we had two performances. Last year we had one gig where we had two or three performances in Texas. This year four, but we're looking forward at some point to get a run of it. So that every show doesn't feel like, okay, train the new dresser, let's get set up, just get into the rhythm of it and, you know, have it run completely smoothly.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Send us your favorite touring story via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to Road Warrior Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Philip Lundstrom. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Bill Mattson, who is no longer the manager of our beloved Terrace Theater at the Kennedy Center. He retired long before the current president desecrated it, and it will take burning an enormous amount of sage to get the current stink out of there. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tischner, 998 2994ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. We had that first long run of the Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel, last year at Merrimack Rep, and that was the vibe. You know, we got to sit in it and play with it every night and see what kind of refinements we could do without worrying about, wait, who's running things backstage this time? Where are we?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, we don't have to change the blocking tonight? Yeah. We don't have to find the new local reference? That's the other thing we have to do at every venue. You know. Yes. Patrick Stewart's going to do his one-man Christmas Carol? Yeah, Patrick Stewart, the CPA from Vallejo, you know, or whatever it is.
Right.
So,
right.
Yes, we don't have to find the new local reference every show.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.